Welcome everybody back to another episode of Two BFFs and a Mic. My name is Dalton.
And my name's Ruby Jane.
Alright you guys, we're just going to go ahead and start off with a quick rundown of what we're going to be doing and talking about today. My co-host here today is going to be interviewed.
It's
going
to be great.
We're also going to talk about some phobias, we're going to talk about pet peeves, kind of go over a little bit of everything that's kind of like there, kind of call her out a little bit.
Yeah, you guys are going to learn everything about me today, which is going to be very interesting to say the least.
Right, so we're going to work on that and kind of just go with it and kind of see where we rampage off on.
Move your mic closer to your mouth, dude.
Your mic, your headphones are not as loud. Remember that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Calm down. I can hear myself just fine.
And this is a little bit of snippets that y'all get when
talk
we're recording this.
Issues right now, technical issues right away. How are we going to start today?
Sure, why not?
All right. Well, I do want to do the motivational speaker kind of thing that we've been doing, like the last episode.
Okay.
I have a Never Give Up by Kevin Hart kind of like speech to kind of talk about that, and we're going to go from there.
Okay.
Play that first, and then we'll come back.
All right, cool.
A lot of people can give up. It's easy to give up. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. All right, man, I'm done. I ain't going. Oh, yeah. I ain't going to keep going.
Yeah,
I don't feel like going to work. It's very easy. But what's hard is going, yo, yesterday I got nothing from working as hard as I could. Nothing happened from that. I'm going to do the same thing again today, but I'm going to try to go harder. That's the hardest thing in the world. To get up every day and give 100% and be in the same position that you were each day, but mentally know that you're trying and trying and trying. That's a real grind.
All right, everybody, and we're back. Okay, so you got my co-host right here, Ruby Jane, and we're going to start off right off with your interview questions. They're going to be kind of funny.
Oh, man.
You're going to really talk about them today, like really get some things talked about?
We're really just laying it all out there, I guess.
Oh, why not? We have someone that's surprised listening with us today, so got to show out some things that I had to think about. When you told me to look for an episode, you told me it was coming. I was like, okay, well, why not call her out on everything while we can do it?
Might as well. We're going to have to wait on that one.
Already got technical issues with your phone.
I'm not answering the phone right now.
All right. So what we're going to start with, your first question, which I kind of really dug deep in these questions as well. I was trying to get them.
Great.
Favorite way to spend your day off?
That's a loaded one.
Yeah.
I like to do a lot of different things on my days off.
Okay. Because
I have, I have Sundays and Mondays.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't like working Sundays or Mondays. Sundays I'd spend with my daughter. We kind of just hang around the house and then go to my parents for dinner. Sometimes I'll take her to the park, whatever. If it's cold, if it's warm enough, I'll take her to the park.
Right.
And then on Mondays, I typically come over here and we record our podcast, and then I'll probably go run some errands. But for the most part, I like to spend my days off kind of relaxing because my work week is so hectic and so brain powered, I guess you could say, that I need those 2 days to really just mute myself, mute my brain.
Right.
My brain's always running a mile a minute when I'm working because I have to think about so many things that happen within work.
Right.
That on days off, I'm like, okay, we're just going to take a chill pill for 2 days and kind of just run with it.
Right.
So, yeah.
So that's how you like to spend your days off.
Yeah, I just have chill days. Do the errands that I need to on Mondays that I can't get to during the week.
Right.
Hang out with my puppy. Yeah.
Bean. Gotta love Bean.
My little beanie baby. My little weenie dog.
Mine just barking away over here.
Yeah. All right, what's your next question?
Next question. Bucket list locations, and why would it be a location for you to go to?
Okay, so I have my three bucket lists.
Okay.
My top one is Scotland.
Oh, so pretty.
Right. It's not only the location of it, but it's the view, the architecture, the history behind it. And I actually kind of have to blame Outlander, the TV show, on that one. I started watching Outlander 5-6 years ago, I think, almost seven, right when it first came out, and seeing the locations that they filmed and everything in between, it's like, I gotta see Scotland.
Right.
It's one of those things I've got to see. And at some point, I think at some point in my life, I did at one point want to move there, because it was just one of those locations that I'm like, oh, I gotta go. Gotta see. I gotta see. Gotta, like, feel what everyone's talking about. Mm-hmm. And then I think my second one would have to be England, no doubt.
Pretty. It's very close to Scotland, so...
Right, and it's you just jump on a boat. Yeah,
and they do cruises that go all around there, so you go between England, Scotland, and you kind of jump between them.
Yeah, again with England, it's a lot of like history behind it, the monarch especially, and seeing where everyone, you know, the monarch part of it, seeing where everyone's been, and yeah, I'm a huge history buff, so just to see.
Nerd.
Yeah, I'm a huge history nerd. We're just going to put it out there. So if it's like, if it's been part of history, I want to go see it.
Right.
And then I think my third one would have to be Australia. When I was 16, my friend Betsy, who is a great listener. So shout out to Betsy Martin, my girl. we actually... had this plan when we were 16 before she got married that we were going to move to Australia and open a coffee shop.
Okay.
Something about Australia was just like those places that you just like had to see.
Right.
Their cultural beings is a little bit different, but right. It's still close to how the United States works. Mm. But it's just a really cool atmosphere out there, and so we were like, oh, let's just like go open a coffee shop.
No, so you're just gonna jump across on a boat, plane, whatever you gotta do.
Yeah, at the
away from everything.
I mean, 16, come on, how many
life
like,
of dreams, gotta figure them out when you're young, and then you
right
back down a little bit on them,
right? And then like, you know, life happened, and you know, it's still one of those like a little bit of a dream that you have in the back of your head, like, oh, I'm gonna retire and move to Australia and open a coffee shop. But I think at this point I'm okay with where I'm at, and right. Betsy's living her absolute best life with her husband and her daughter, and they are just having an incredible time. And yeah, it's just a great time. So those are my top three. What is everyone else's top three? Can't wait to see those answers.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's, but my time's not now.
No,
we're not to talk about mine.
It's all about
y'all. Can
me
leave
today.
Y'all in the comments, but I'm gonna go ahead and keep mine a little secret until maybe later on show.
Okay. All right. Hit me with the next question.
You ready for the next one?
Yeah.
All right. Favorite three TV series that are currently that you are watching or you're obsessed with, and why?
Okay. So my top one is The Gilded Age. That's on Max. That takes place in 1860 during the literal Gilded Age. Mm-hmm. And it's loosely based off of the Vanderbilts.
Okay.
And the same writer that wrote Downton Abbey also wrote Gilded Age. There's one specific character that's in that show that ties into Downton Abbey. So I'm curious if the writer is going to tie those shows in.
Possible.
My mom and I have talked about it loosely. Like, are they going to write it in, or are they going to write them together or
right.
not? But there's like 30 years in between the two shows.
Yes.
So it's like... I don't really know. Yeah, like, how are you going
to
do that?
How would you lay that out to sit well with that?
Yeah, but it's just a show that goes along with, like, how the Vanderbilts, like, came into play. Because they're new money. They're not old money. Mr. Vanderbilt, you know, bought a crap ton of railroad tracks. Mm-hmm. And, like, this is their, like, journey of getting out into society. And then my second one, the one that I'm obsessed with right now, which everyone is Grey's Anatomy.
Ugh.
I'm always watching Grey's Anatomy.
I have not been.
I love that show.
I've stayed out of it since I've watched it when it was real popular, and then like I'm not keeping up. They have too much going on.
I
just can't keep up with the episodes that are coming out.
Yeah, and like that's the tough one is like the first like 15 season
right.
is so good, and it's like a comfort show. It's one of those shows that you just kind of go back to for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
But the season 19. I had a really hard time watching because there was just one specific topic that they were constantly talking about, and I'm not talking about it, but it was just one of those topics that you just hear over and over again. You kind of just get tired of hearing about it.
Right.
But I like the fact that they go with current things that are going on in the world. So that's pretty cool. But Grey's Anatomy is definitely up there.
Okay.
And then I think my third one would have to be, it's between The Witcher and Game of Thrones, but not like Game of Thrones, more of House of the Dragon.
Gotcha. So the newer one.
Yeah. The prequel to Game of Thrones.
Right.
Okay. I freaking love George R.R. Martin. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have the House sigils tattooed on me.
Right.
All about him. Love his writing. I read House of the Dragon after I watched the season.
Mm-hmm.
Or after I watched House of the Dragon, because I wanted to know, like, more about it.
Right.
So I ended up reading the book after I watched the show, but the way that it's just, like, set up for everything is amazing. Like, his writing is out of this world. It's just as good as, like, Tolkien. And the newer season comes out in the summer. This summer. I think it's, like, the end of summer. It's, like, August 2024.
Probably, yeah.
And I cannot wait. Like, I've gotten to the point of the book where I've caught up with the show. And I don't want to continue on reading the book
right
before the show comes out, because I'm going to ruin the show for myself. So I'm like,
sometimes the book is better.
Like, I know this character dies. I know when she's about to get pissed. I guess
the cliffhangers that are from, like, watching a TV series will be ruined because you've read that book now.
Yes.
And it's just like, it's the same thing with the Harry Potter series.
Yeah.
I've read the books and watched the movies, and I'm like, okay, I got into it still. It's still a great series and anything to watch, the movies and stuff, but you do ruin that for yourself, because the cliffhangers they try to add in the movies just kind of dissipate a little bit, because you've already know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Other than people that don't read the book first and then they just watch the movies.
See, with the Harry Potter, I watched the movies first, but my mom also read the first and second book to us as kids,
right,
just to, like, give us a little dabble into the series, but she never pressured us to get into Harry Potter. I am one out of three of her children that has gotten fully invested into Harry Potter.
Right.
I have a Harry Potter sleeve. I have Harry Potter stuff at home.
I have a whole wall of Harry Potter and Star Wars stuff in the office. So
yeah, 2 years ago is when I first read Harry Potter, and I haven't even read Harry Potter all the way through. I'm stuck on the Half-Blood Prince.
Okay.
It's just, and everyone told me.
That one's a lengthy one to me.
Yeah, well, everyone told me once you read Half-Blood Prince, like, you're going to struggle getting through that book because it is so hard to get through.
Yes.
It's Harry Potter literally complaining the entire time.
Yes.
It's literally a book of complaining. Yeah, and so I'm just struggling to get through it, because I'm just like, can you just stop complaining? Just like, let's get through this, bud.
As I read mine through middle school, I read all of Harry Potter.
See, I wasn't a big reader in middle school and high school. I didn't become a big reader until I was, like, 20.
Okay.
So no, I wasn't, like, big into books. Like, what I did to get myself into books was I signed up for a book club subscription.
Gotcha.
And I got new books every month. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, I like
it. Yeah, I remember packing that box and picking it up.
Yeah, so now I have, like, a mini library at home.
That I like that one better than the box of books that weighed a crap ton, literally. Oh,
are you talking about my suitcase when I moved?
Yes.
Dude, that suitcase was, like, 70 pounds.
But the wheels were struggling. I mean, it just was not okay.
I would have cried if it broke my suitcase. I would have cried, because I love that suitcase.
But you got to think of the amount of books that you had in it, though. You did eliminate a lot.
No, I didn't.
Oh, they're at your parents?
Yep.
Oh.
Only five of them are at my parents, because I counted. Five of them. And so that makes it, like, 35 books.
So then, yeah, okay. Not a small library still.
Yeah.
Still have
and I books. Still have, like, four other books on my nightstand.
Okay.
Which, if you haven't read already, everyone needs to go read A Court of Thorn and Roses, because it is so freaking good. You won't be disappointed.
Everyone, way to promote a book, girl. Promote
it. It's good. It's so good. If you like the, what is it called? The, not sci-fi, fantasy.
It's fantasy.
Fantasy, yeah. Spicy books. Yeah, go read that one. It's really good.
Fantasy fiction, right?
Fantasy fiction, and it's a little spicy.
What, spicy?
It's spicy.
Oh, get a little more tea on that, you think?
Yeah, but it's not that spicy, like, right off the bat. Like, it works up to it.
Gotcha.
And then you're kind of like, okay, you know, I can, it's a good storyline. It's not like 50 Shades of Grey.
That's an intense book. I will say that.
Yeah. I didn't read it. Way too intense for me.
Too intense?
Yeah.
But did you watch the movie?
Hell yeah, I watched the movie.
Of course you did.
What do you mean? I'm going to watch that movie. It's good.
Right. It is good.
Well, the series alone is good. It's a good storyline besides, like, all the spiciness in it.
A little spicy.
All right. Yeah. All right. So we completely got off subject again.
As we normally do. It's kind of how our podcasts kind of go.
Yeah.
We're not stick to the outline. We get to the outline, but we'll jump off like we always do.
Oh, yeah. Always. Okay. All right. On to the next one.
You ready for your next question?
I am. Let's go.
How ready are you?
Huh?
How ready are you?
On a scale, let's say 1,000.
Oh, okay.
I'm breaking the scale today.
Oh, boy. You're being overdramatic.
Well, it tends to happen sometimes.
All right. So, if money was no object, as you didn't have to think about it, it was just something that you just have, what would you do?
Oh, I'd still do what I'm doing. Still do hair.
So, you would keep doing hair?
Yeah, I'd still be a hairstylist because, to me, it's not one of those jobs that I'm doing it for the money. I'm doing it because I love my job. If I was even broke, I'd still do my job. I would rather make somebody happy within themselves and with their hair than switch jobs to make more money.
Right.
I absolutely love having the clients that I have and adding new clients too.
And almost like having your own freedom because you're on your own boss.
Yeah, I'm my own boss. So. I love that aspect. But it's not just the fact that I own my own business. I own my own schedule. You know, I make my own prices. It's more of making my client feel more confident within herself than what she walked in with.
Right.
Because you got to remember, like, at the end of the day, when you're looking in the mirror, you're directly looking at your face.
Right.
You're first going to notice what's ever on your face and on your hair. If your hair does not match your confidence, then it's going to, you're playing a teeter-tottering game.
Right.
It's like, okay, how do I make essentially my crown better to make myself feel better? And I found that most clients go into salons feeling very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't like that because I've been in that situation where I walk in and I'm like, oh, I don't really know about this.
You want to make a comfortable place for
somebody. Yes. And it's, you can only feel comfortable when you feel wanted and mm-hmm. needed. And you can almost, like, take a breath. You can take a breath. You can relax. Right. And I've had a lot of clients come in, and they're full of anxiety because they've, in the past, have felt very uncomfortable going into another hair salon.
I mean, someone just could have ruined their hair one time, and they're having to get something fixed.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of trusting your hairstylist that you go to mm-hmm. with basically your shield.
Yeah. Your hair, most people don't care about their hair, but most of the time, their hair is, like, their like thing. It's their thing. It's the one thing that they control. It's the one thing that makes them feel good about who they are. Mm-hmm. That's how I am. My hair is everything to me. If anything happened to me or anything to my hair, I would probably go in a corner and cry.
Yeah.
And if I ever shaved my head, you best believe I got like 50 wigs just to wait for that shit to grow back.
I'm not gonna be bald-headed. I'm gonna wig it out.
Yeah, but for me, it's I would put myself in their shoes and make them feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. I have a couple clients who really struggle with that confidence, and every single time they leave my chair, they walk out with their head held high, shoulders back, confident within themselves, because I want my clients to feel comfortable in their own skin. And if I can tweak that just a little bit by tweaking their hair mm-hmm. and making themselves feel 1,000 times better than how they woke up, I'm going to do it. I don't really care.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Gotcha.
I will always do this job. This is what I love to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Next question.
Okay.
This one could be a more of a lengthy, but it hits a little more for you.
Yeah. As I just read it.
If you could tell your younger self, what are three lessons you would tell yourself?
Be patient. Be patient. I had so very little patience when I was a kid.
Right.
I had none. I thought, you know, when I was 14, mm-hmm. I looked to the future and I was like, oh, I'm going to be married by 20. I'll have 4 kids by 25. And yeah, was my 14-year-old self.
Not me. Mm-hmm.
But that's what, you know, you look at, you see it in movies, and that's just what you, as a woman, that's just what you automatically think. Oh, I'm going to be married by this time, be done with kids by this time, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of it, you have to look at it as though just because you think that's what's going to happen for you doesn't mean that's what is going to happen.
Right.
So one of the lessons would be patient. You know, like, the world will show you with what you want to do. Mm-hmm. 14, I thought that way. 15, it changed every year until I was 18. 14, thought I was going to be married. 15, thought I was going to be in the Air Force. 16, I thought I was going to make a whole career out of theater. Mm-hmm. I believed that all the way up until I was about 20, when I was still in the theater world.
Right.
By 21, when I got pregnant, it was, this job is not enough. Mm-hmm. It's not secure enough. You got to go do hair.
Right.
Because it's more secure, and it's just a better job. I put my big girl pants on. You know, you got to do that when you have a child. But be patient is one of them. Love yourself. Love yourself. I did not love myself when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And looking back at photos, I can see that.
You may think you're showing that face when you're younger. Mm-hmm. But it's so hard when you look back and you can see it.
Yeah.
From where you are now and where you've grown from all those things that have happened. Mm-hmm. You see it when you look at photos.
Yeah. I can see the lack of confidence when I was 15, 16.
Right.
And that was hard. And I felt like I had to seek that in everybody. Mm-hmm. I had to seek that validation.
Right.
As a 16-year-old, that I was good enough, that I was pretty enough. And then it was just one of those things that I turned, I think it was about, I turned 23. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no more. No more. There is no more of walking around wondering if I'm good enough. So it was one of those things where I was like, time to grow. Time to grow. Time to change this thinking. I'm tired of looking at past photos and seeing that lack of confidence.
Right.
So it's just love yourself. Mm-hmm. As a 16-year-old, just love yourself, because I promise you, it gets better. Like, if you love yourself now, that love for yourself just grows more and more. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the third lesson I would tell myself as a 16-year-old.
Dig deep, girl. Dig deep.
Yeah.
From all the things we've gone through, there's nothing else you can think of that you would tell your younger self from everything you've learned and grown from and lived your life to be it to now?
Believe in yourself. That, like, all of it, all the lessons that I could tell myself is to believe in myself, have the confidence, love yourself, and be patient.
Gotcha.
And the be confident and believe in yourself kind of go hand in hand, because I struggled with that up until I switched to Soxy.
Right.
Believing in myself, with having that confidence. I was switching from Carolina Forest to Soxy. Mm-hmm. My junior year. I literally had to. They were getting ready to Nick kicked the bucket with me at Carolina Forest with all my tardies. And I...
Why you gotta do that?
Well, you know, that's what happens when you live about 20, 30 minutes away from a school.
Yeah.
So I was going... I think it was like around January. My mom was dropping me off at school, and they just announced that they were doing Shrek the Musical. Mm. I think it was... Yeah, Shrek was my junior year.
And musical.
Right. So I was heavily involved...
That's when we met.
Yes. That's exactly when we met. I was 17. I just turned 17. I was very heavily involved with theater at Carolina Forest.
Right.
And I wanted to... I went into Soxy thinking I'm going to reimagine myself. So everyone at Carolina Forest knows me as Janie, because mm-hmm. that's what I went by for the longest time. And I switched over to Soxy, and I was like... I nixed Janie, and now I go by Ruby Jane, and that's how everybody knew me.
Or and I call you RJ all the time.
Right, but. And you can thank Lance Pearl for that one.
Yes, 100% he did that. You thank
Lance Pearl for that one. So my mom was like, listen, this is the time where you can completely reimagine yourself. My mom did it when she switched high schools. I did it when I switched high schools, but I was also used to switching schools because mm-hmm. we moved so much. So switching schools for me at 17 was no big deal. But... I looked at my mom. They just announced that they were doing Shrek the Musical. I looked at my mom right before school, and I said, Mom, I really want to be part of this again. Mm-hmm. She's like, okay, just go do it. I said, but I don't know how I'm going to do that. I don't know what I'm going to do. She looks at me, and she goes, honey, There's only two ways you're going to get through this. Mm-hmm. You're either going to walk into that theater classroom with your head held high and walk straight up to Lance or whoever was in charge. And I knew it was Lance at the time. So she was like, you walk straight up to Lance and you say, hi, I'm Ruby Jane. I'd really like to be part of tech. Mm-hmm. Or you can go through high school and be miserable. It's up to you. Which path do you want to take?
Find a path that works for you.
Yeah. Either go in there with your head held high or you're going to school miserable. Mm-hmm. I can't hold your hand to get you through this. Mm-hmm. You've got to go do it. And I'm like, okay, all right. And that's what I did. I went into school that day. I think it was by our break in between second and third period or first and second. Was it first and second?
Yeah, breaks after first.
It's been a while since I've been in high school.
Girl, don't tell me. Stop. We're getting old. Stop. Don't talk. I don't remember that.
So I went in during break and they were all sitting in the theater room because I knew the theater teacher through my middle sister, and I walked up to Lance and I said, hey, Ruby Jane, I'd really like to be part of the theater tech. And he's like, all right, cool, you know, write your name in here. And from there it kind of just skyrocketed with making a bunch of friends, and I'm really thankful that my mom looked at me and was like, you got to do this,
right?
You've got to do this. And that right there kind of started my journey of, you know, when you walk into a room, you walk into the room with your head held high. Mm-hmm. You walk in there with confidence because, baby, you can get away with anything if you know what you're doing.
Right.
You know what you're doing. They're going to let you go anywhere you want.
Yep.
And that's what I do. That's how I look at it in life. You can either walk in with your head held down, scared as a button, or you can walk in with your head held high and like you own the place. Pretty so much. I walk in everywhere where I own the place.
Yeah. I didn't have to do that. I just kind of showed what I knew how to do.
Yeah.
And you that's also, where I grew in the theater department
for myself. Your confidence grew within that.
Oh, yeah.
You walk in any room like you own the place. I
was the closeted gay kid that was in tech.
Yeah, that's true.
That didn't fully come out until probably junior.
Yeah. But the lessons that I would teach my 16-year-old self is be patient, love yourself, and be confident.
Right.
You know, like, just do it. Just do it. High school is not everything. Trust me, there's way more better things out there outside of high school.
Oh, 100%. As soon as you get out of there, you see the world for what it is, not just school and go home and do whatever. Mm-hmm. But once you have to grow up and do those adult things, the world changes.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, that's mine. That's it for the interview. You got more questions?
No more questions. So hopefully I'll get to know RJ a little bit. Or Ruby Jane. Sorry, I got RJ stuck in the head again.
It's okay.
Oh, boy. So we can hop into phobias.
Okay. And
the most weirdest ones I can think of when I looked it up and was doing some research on phobias. There's three that freaked me out. And they were weird because they just made no sense.
Yeah.
But apparently you know someone with the first phobia, which is the fear of belly buttons, which I am not going to try to pronounce these names.
I don't even know.
Omophobia?
Sure. Fear of belly buttons. If y'all know how to say that, let us know.
Right. Because I don't.
Fear of belly buttons. Isn't that wild? One of my friends has a fear of belly buttons.
But you have one on your body. How can you be scared of your own belly button?
It's just one of those things. How can you be scared of bathing? As that goes into our next one.
But for the fear of belly button, I kind of got a snippet of it. Mm-hmm. People with the fear may avoid beach, swimming pools, and other places where exposing is likely. In several cases, they may cover their own belly button with tape or a Band-Aid. It can get that bad.
They
literally will just cover their belly button. If they have to show their belly button, they have a problem with showing it.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
That TV show in the early 2000s. You know what I'm talking about? Did you ever watch Freeform? Freeform or ABC Family? There's this show on...
I'm going to break that wall, girl.
Oh, heck yeah. I'm going to break that wall. He knew it was coming, too. There's a TV show on ABC Family, which is now Freeform, mm-hmm. where it's this guy that does not have a belly button. Like, there's no belly button. I don't remember what the show is called, but there's no belly button. That's what kind of reminds me of when people cover
I've seen the belly button one. I will say that. I've seen somebody with a belly button covered with a Band-Aid.
I haven't. I haven't seen that.
It was at a water park when I used to work there.
Okay, yeah. That.
I thought it was just like they didn't want moisture or water in there. Didn't mm-hmm. think it was because they probably have a phobia of their belly button.
It reminds me of my sister pierced her belly button twice, top and bottom, like going vertical, top and bottom. She pierced that by herself and covered it with a Band-Aid to hide it from my parents. And I called her out on it.
I remember that.
I called her out on that.
I remember that, yeah.
I said, Mama, Zane's got a belly button. Mm-hmm. Or a belly button piercing.
She's got a belly button. Did she not have one at first?
Right. She's got her belly button pierced. She did it twice. She looked at me. She was so mad. She goes, how dare you? I said, well, it sucks to suck.
Lesson learned.
Called me out. I'm calling you out.
Right.
You think you were going to escape this?
Oh, no.
No. Absolutely not. She doesn't escape nothing. Nothing. I won't let her. All right. So the next one is ablutophobia, which is fear of bathing. Listen, you got fear of bathing, you better stay away from me.
Right, because you're just going to smell. Yeah. I'm just thinking of the smell from someone that does that. No. It is most commonly found in toddlers, though.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
That is a phobia. It's
and dogs. The little...
The dogs, you just got to train them.
Dogs, you just got to throw them in the bath.
It's uncommon in adults. Many toddlers experience bathing fears a few weeks or a month after part of their development. In adults, abtophobia, which I'm not pronouncing, like I said, these words hurt my head, may be related to early related water trauma.
Hmm.
So it's usually from people that have had a fear of drowning or something like that. They can get the fear of being near any body of water. They can make them clean or whatever.
Okay.
It also falls under the phobia of being scared of water.
Hmm.
So.
I could never.
I'm sorry. I like my shower. I like my bath. I don't care. I'm going to go relax in that tub with whatever I got to because I like to be comfy.
Yeah.
So.
I'm good. I'll take a shower every single day if I have to.
Right. Because I'm just.
I can't.
Where you work, you mm-hmm. deal with bleach, hair. You need to wash that off.
Oh, yeah. Especially. Well, my clients are clean, so I don't have to worry about that. I get that, but
like, you have hair that's all over your clothes and stuff, like, from cutting hair all day.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're covered in chemicals from the products that you use on hair, mm-hmm. stuff like that. That has to come off your body.
Oh, yeah, because they'll kill me if I'm not careful.
Right. So, it's just kind of something you have to do. And, I mean, I work for the post office, so I'm outside in the elements. I'm going to take a shower because I ain't covered in dirt.
Oh, yeah.
This ain't happening.
Yeah.
You got to think the amount of boxes that can actually leak on us.
Oh, yeah, like that one time. Was it you or Colin that had the chemicals? Oh, I got the hiccups.
My fiance, he had a box of like some harsh dishwashing chemical that got on his hands and it ate a part of his skin. He had to rinse it out really quick, and he had a scar for it for a minute.
But that happened during the summer. You guys were coming over to my parents' house.
Right. He got irritated. He almost got, it was bug killer. It got in his eye.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was during my dad's summer party.
Yes, where we were all going to the pool. I was there all day with y'all, and he was still at work.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, I gotta go. I gotta go make sure Colin's all right.
And he told me not to, but then he ended up showing up, and he was okay. It's just, that's the thing that, with delivering packages the way we do, is they can leak. And some of the stuff that gets shipped now through Amazon, because Amazon sells everything.
Literally.
You can buy a house through Amazon. Did you know that?
I did know that.
A freaking house.
Yeah.
They basically build their house with the packages.
I'm curious when they're going to start selling cars.
I guarantee there's one on there. Guarantee you can find one. And he's going to look it up as soon as I said that. But I guarantee you can buy a car. Or, I mean, you can buy parts for cars. Pretty much build one.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, they sell everything on Amazon. Amazon is a world center of selling.
I mean, are we really surprised, though?
I hate it. Amazon is...
I mean, I got everybody call me this morning.
You're a hairdresser. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But...
I love you guys. I love you guys. I'm sorry I can't answer.
Podcast time. Podcast time first.
Yeah.
After you've delayed our day.
Yeah. It's fine.
The next phobia, I'm going to let you try to pronounce the name, but it is the fear of vegetables.
Lanchophobia.
Lanchophobia.
Fear of veggies. Well, if you're not going to eat your veggies, you better take some vitamins.
Right, because you need them to keep your body running.
Yeah. Do you want me to read the description?
You can go ahead and read it.
Okay, it says, no, this doesn't describe your five-year-old who pushes broccoli around their plate until you offer dessert. Listen, you know, My kid don't eat broccoli. She'll eat carrots. She will eat carrots all day long. Carrots and it's not peas, green beans.
Mm-hmm.
She'll eat those too. And she did have a salad at school one time.
One time?
One time. She has not eaten it.
Not again.
Not again. So, but it's not my 5-year-old. But it also says people with this phobia may endure extreme anxiety when seeing or even just thinking about vegetables. Oh, I could not.
I like my vegetables.
I like my veggies. I like a good steamed broccoli and a steamed cauliflower.
That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
I love a stir fry.
Cauliflower with French onion dip. Ugh, best snack ever. You get the crunch factor of a chip. I
throw mine through the air fryer with some Parmesan, olive oil, salt, pepper. Throw it in the air fryer.
Next time I come over, you're doing that.
No.
Yes.
Oh.
We just did it
the other day.
And you got to do your broccoli cheddar soup. Oh, it's so good. See, I can't have that phobia. I like my broccoli. I like my...
I like soups. And a lot of soups have vegetables in them. So you can't really be afraid of it when you have a soup problem like me. Because I eat soup all the time. It can be hot outside. I'll still eat a soup.
Yeah, I don't like lettuce. Unless it's romaine lettuce. Fresh romaine lettuce. I don't like the in the bag. Because I can taste dirt.
Are you rinsing it off like you're supposed to?
Yeah, and I still taste it. Can't do it. Okay. I don't like cucumbers. I don't like peppers.
You don't like onions because you have.
Actually, I'm starting to like onions. Yeah, but I had to mince the shit out of them.
Yeah, because you and my knife over there like chopping
teeny
it.
Tiny.
It's a mesh. It's like a mush.
I like the flavor. I like the flavor of onions. You cannot blame me on that. And I've gotten to like them.
Just use onion powder then, if you really.
I do. I did that on my eggs yesterday morning. It was not good. Magnolia loved them, though, so that's all that matters.
As long as kid's happy.
Right.
But, like, I get what you're saying. Like,
yeah. The smell of peppers, forget about it. I'm yakking immediately. I can't do the smell.
So you have a slight phobia of vegetables.
No, they're not phobias. I just don't like the... I guess you could say
you have a phobia. An acute phobia of vegetables.
Great. Right.
You didn't think you would think about that, but like that is a part of it. It's not like you have a full fear of them. You have an acute fear.
Well, here's what's funny is that I love pickles, hate cucumbers.
It's the brine that they're in.
It's the vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
It's the vinegar and dill. I don't know what you're talking about. The best pickles on the market, it's got to come from Dagwood or McAllister's. I'll eat a whole jar of them suckers.
No, I like the Grillo style pickles. They're called Grillos.
The what?
Grillos. They're brand of pickles. They are really good. They are called Grillos.
You know what it sounds like you're saying?
What?
Gorilla. Gorilla pickles.
I mean, that could be a name. Put a gorilla on the front of it.
Absolutely and have it hold not. Some pickles. Oh, the Claussen. The Claussen ones?
Yeah.
Those are good.
Mm-hmm.
I will, if you give me the little baby dill pickles, the little baby ones.
Little baby.
I will eat a whole jar just sitting there. Just sitting there out with a whole damn jar.
Almost it's equivalent to eating like two pickles. 2 to 3 pickles, if you think about it, the size of them that they normally are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
So the little ones are like literally mm-hmm. eating 3 pickles.
I used to get like a midnight snack. You can blame my dad for that one. Like a little Scooby snack.
Mm-hmm.
I would eat 2 giant pickles.
Scooby snack.
A Scooby snack. But they're not literal Scooby snacks. He just calls them Scooby snacks. So, yeah. But I get the two.
We're currently watching all of the Scooby-Doo episodes and the movies. We're rewatching them.
No kidding.
Well, they have Looney Tunes now on the TV where you can like have a subscription, and it's like all the old school Looney Tunes cartoons.
So you're watching them all.
Oh, yeah. We're currently sitting through and watching every Scooby-Doo movie in order
on how
they came out.
Oh, my God.
It is hilarious, and you can see the quality has definitely changed from what we were used to.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I look at it, I'm like, you know, I used to love how this TV light looked perfect. Now I look at it on the flat screen, I'm like, man, the quality sucks.
Yeah. I had a client
text
me.
Do your job.
I am doing my job while I'm doing this job.
Yeah, well,
multitasking.
Multitasking, I mean, we could always take a break if you want.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Okay.
Wait, can we really?
I can go for a break. Do you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
All
right,
cool.
All right, you guys, we'll be right back right after this. And we're back.
Yeah, I couldn't hear anything, so I had to get adjusted.
I can't get the edit perfect. If you hear her before the break... I might leave it as a blooper. I don't know yet.
Yeah, I hope it's explicit. So, I mean, I hope you guys got a kick out of it.
I mean, we did say that we're going to say words that are not usually allowed, but I mark all of our videos as...
explicit.
Yeah, because we're not going to get in trouble when they banned the video because I didn't click that option.
Yeah,
good. I have everything marked on the podcast for it. It is all explicit content. Because of that, because of the... Uh-oh.
I got a sailor mouth.
Whoopsie. But honestly, we should be fine. I mean, I think people laugh when they're listening and stuff, so it'll be great.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
So, well...
enjoy.
The next part that I kind of had us going towards is, what are our phobias? And we found out you have a veggie phobia.
Apparently. You guys are all calling me out for it.
Let me go grab a cucumber right quick.
The word I could say right now.
Cucumbers!
F you!
I'm gonna get some onions, not mince them, throw them in some food.
I'm gonna mush around my plate. I'm gonna push them around.
Pretty much what's gonna happen. Just gonna pull them right out like a 2-year-old.
I do, actually. I do that. No. That actually happened at a restaurant one time.
It's because you like the flavor, but you don't like the texture. That's the thing.
Yeah, I can't do the texture.
I'm not mistaken, the veggie phobia, there is a textured version of it.
Oh, is there? Well, I have that
texture phobia.
That's me. I have that phobia.
But you don't like some of them anyways, even just smell or anything. So it's you all have right, a veggie full, phobia. I'm sorry. You're going to keep trying to get out of that, but you have a veggie phobia. Yeah. A cute veggie phobia.
A cute. It's a cute one. Okay. So my other phobia is deep waters. Like not being able to see the bottom. I was actually just talking about this the other day. I cannot. Like a pool I can go into because I can see. A pool I can see.
So it's probably not the depth, it's the clarity.
It's the clarity of the water. If I can't see my feet, I am like thinking that
something's going to grab you?
Yes, either someone's going to grab me, someone's going to touch me.
Right.
I'm going to pull down in the depths of the ocean. What is it called? Oh, look at that. He even looked it up.
Hey, I like having an extra person.
Aquaphobia.
I'm going to have him do the editing, like split channels and everything. Like get you teach it away.
Thalassophobia. The persistent, intense fear of bodies of deep, dark waters. Yeah, it's different. Like aquaphobia, which is a fear of any type of amount of water.
It's a body of water.
Yeah. Thank you. What's your phobia?
I have an acute arachnophobia.
Isn't that spiders?
Yes. It just depends on all bugs. That's a different one. That's an insect phobia. You're scared of insects.
Yeah. It makes my whole body like
tense. Like I'm okay with I've held tarantulas and stuff like that. They don't bother me. They do not bother me. But it's the little ones that could literally kill you.
All spiders scare the crap out of me. All spiders.
What's the most poisonous spider, do you know?
It's the tarantula.
No.
No, is it not tarantula? What is
it? Daddy Longleg.
Shut the hell up. Zane used to play with those all the time.
They're the most poisonous, but they cannot bite you. They have this world's smallest mouth, so they cannot bite you, but they are the most poisonous spider.
Did you look this up before this?
I knew that. It was a fact I actually knew. Oh. Well, during high school, I took the environmental science class.
Oh, yeah, that's
so true. I was with spiders and insects and snakes reptiles. I didn't. Everything.
No, I did anatomy.
And I did not because I didn't want to learn it because I didn't care.
Yeah, no, I did anatomy.
But I wanted to know about different mammals, reptiles, everything around us.
Oh, zoology.
I did that class too. So I.
Why am I not surprised?
Should have probably went into it, but I just didn't fully want to pursue that. Really.
Yeah, like any bugs, if it comes near me, I twitches, full on twitches.
So if a mosquito gets near you, you freak out.
Oh yeah, I can't. I cannot. I can't do them. I cannot.
So, do you live in a bubble outside of this place?
No. If I see it, I just swipe it off. I can't do it.
So insects bother you. So it's an insect phobia.
Yeah, I'm deathly terrified of waking up and there's a bug on my face. And I read this thing where, I think it's on average.
Do you have a spider in your ear?
Shut the fuck up. I don't want
to. Am I going to freak you out right now?
Yeah, well, you're going to freak me out. Please stop. I can't. I can't. If there's a bug, I will call my dad. Dad, you gotta come kill this bug. What is it called? Entomophobia.
Yep.
Fear of insects. Yep. Some with this may have extreme anxiety or fear when seeing or thinking about insects. Yep, that's me. That's me. I can't do it.
Calls you out right there.
I will physically call my dad and be like, Dad, there is a bug. Come kill this. Come kill this bug. Yes. Come kill it.
Just get a shoe.
Yeah, most of the time he comes over, but sometimes he's like,
get a shoe.
Yeah, he's like,
just squat it.
Every time. See, I'm known as baby girl, so he's like, baby girl, you got to kill that on your own. You're a big girl. You're an adult.
You're grown up. You're not at mommy's house no more.
Yeah. Like, you don't live with me, so I can't kill the bugs anymore.
Right, even though he's like less than 15 minutes away.
But he's 5 minutes away.
5 minutes. Oh, 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
5 minutes. And he's like, can't do it.
Just get Noli. Noli's not scared of most things. Noli will go kill
No, me. She's actually terrified of bugs. Like, she sees a bug, she's screaming bloody murder.
I am so surprised, because yeah. She's like, go hit everything.
No, she loves being outdoors. Outdoors, she knows her bugs. She's fine, but when she comes inside and there is a bug, she is screaming bloody murder. You would have thought I killed her cat. Mind you, she doesn't have a cat, but you would have thought that I killed a bug, or I killed an animal of hers, or I threw away one of her favorite toys.
We tried to get rid of some toys. Girl likes a toy.
Yeah,
but once it's gone is when she notices it.
Yes, every time. But I did actually do a good clearing of her toys,
right?
So there's not as many toys. She just likes to take her toys and sprawl them out everywhere. Her clothes, her shoes, her toys. It's flipping everywhere. And like at the end of the night, I'm like, kid, you got to clean this up.
Right.
Oh, man, I don't want to. Well, you got to. Oh, I don't want to. Like falls to the ground. Nope, kid, get up.
Tantrum. She has her tantrum.
Give me the iPad.
Woo. You don't give her what she wants or give her the attention, she's going to scream. Yes, you did it. You did it.
100%.
No, let me correct that. You and your mama and daddy did that.
Yes.
Because they have spoiled that child.
Yeah, 100%. She is so spoiled. She's spoiled rotten. But she also is very well behaved and says, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, no, thank you.
Yeah, she has a respect when it comes to, but she can throw a tantrum when it's around people she's very comfortable with, like me.
Yeah.
She'll throw a tantrum in 2.2 seconds. She don't care.
When we're out in public, I look at her. I'm like, if you don't quit.
You do it, I'm going to smack you.
I'm going
give it a look.
There's that look. You know that look. Yeah. All mamas know that look.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
We have mastered that look, and I can do that look. But I'm also, like, I'm not that parent that spanks. I spank when it's needed, not when it's...
it's easier?
Yeah, not just because it's easier. I would actually send her to the room, let her work through her emotions, and then I go in, and I actually sit down, and I talk to her.
Right.
I tell her, all right, let's talk about this. Why are you feeling this way? What caused this? Do you know what emotion you're feeling right now?
Right. Try to understand it.
Yeah, because, you know, kids that age, they have big emotions. Very, very big emotions. And it's better for them to understand what emotion that they're feeling and how to work through that emotion and process that emotion than them get to 16 and they're hell on wheels. And they're pissed off all the freaking time.
Right.
Because they don't know which emotion they're feeling. It's anger all the time.
Which is a matter of just allowing them to understand what's going on while they're having that feeling.
Yeah. Like the other day, she had a really bad tantrum. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't seem to figure out why or like what caused it. Mm-hmm. So I had her like, it sounds bad by me sending her away. I'm not sending her away because I don't want to deal with it. I'm sending her away so she can go sit down and reflect on the emotion that she's feeling.
Right.
Just how any adult would want is a moment for them to process that emotion. Mm-hmm. And then I give it like 2-3 minutes and then I go in and I sit on her bed.
Right.
And I say, okay, can you tell me what you're feeling? And most of the time she can say, I'm sad or I'm angry or I'm upset. And that always falls with, why are you feeling that way? And she can tell me why she's feeling that way. Mm-hmm. Because it's the one thing that most adults can't understand is how to process certain emotions.
Right.
And this is setting her up for it to be able to explain.
Be able to understand what she's going through.
She's feeling.
As a grown adult. I mean, there's a lot of people that do have that issue understanding their emotions, which...
Where they only answer to anger. Where they only know how to do it through anger.
Right.
You don't have to explain yourself through anger. You can sit down and have a calmly conversation and tell and explain why you're feeling that emotion.
Yeah.
Like, she can now go to her teacher when she's upset and tell her, hey, Miss So-and-so, I'm upset. Okay, why? Because your automatic reaction when someone is feeling that way is, why are you feeling that way? And I wanted her to be able to explain that. And I've been doing that to her since she was, like, one.
Yes.
Since she could, like, even say, mommy.
Yeah.
I would let her work through emotions, sit down, you know, right. cried out, worked it, just cried out. If you need to cry, cry, cry. Mm-hmm. I don't really care. If you want to, you know, roll on the ground and that's how you're going to work through your emotions. Okay, cool. Sometimes it does, you know, get rough because she can't do it everywhere because everyone thinks, oh, your kid's acting up. You need to go spank your kid.
Right.
You need to go take her to the bathroom and beat the shit out of her.
No.
No, I don't need to do that. I'm just going to take her to the bathroom and talk it through.
Right.
That's my gentle parenting. There's certain things that I like about gentle parenting and there's certain things that I don't.
Yeah.
Because Magnolia processes emotions differently. Mm-hmm. I have to go about it a different way
right.
than other parents. Mm. She feels emotions way, way, way different than another child.
Right.
It's very deep. Very, very deep. She just has really big emotions, and I would rather her understand those emotions
right.
than she's hell on wheels all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know how we got into that, but we did.
Hey,
I think it dealt with the bugs.
It did. It kind of went with the bug thing.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how we go. You already know that. It's mm-hmm. how our podcast run. It's different. It's niche-y. It's we ramble off.
Yeah.
But that's true. So we're not sticking to a script.
Yeah.
And just being boring about it.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Have a different. We talk like we're two people literally talking across from each other, like we always are.
Yeah, I have never been good with reading off script, so I ain't gonna read off script now.
Me neither, girl.
No. Mm-mm.
During theater, having to citate and see where I'm doing certain things, I hated it.
Yeah.
I had to listen to what line we're going on, what spotting light or lighting channel we're going to. It's just, it's a lot.
Yeah. I just memorized it so I didn't have to read off the
pretty much, you know what show part you're going.
Well, if I design the light show, I know where this is going
to
go.
I know. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Usually you don't have to do too many lit cues during a light. You set them up and they go through the scene.
I didn't get that far, but sure.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. You were able to do that. I was not. So for one scene, I had like 100 light cues for it.
Yes, because I learned how to make. Well, I also timed them though.
Yeah,
I made it true. Where as soon as I started that scene,
the song. Oh, I did start doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the song, how long the song is how long that scene goes, and it will automatically change and transition
yeah.
automatically in the cue.
Oh, yeah.
So true. I didn't have to sit there and go, 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 go.
I did that for Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
You taught me how to do that, and it helped me with the rest of the shows that I did.
Yeah, because that's Light Jockey and PC.
Yeah. All right, let's go on to pet peeves.
Pet peeves.
This is going to be
interesting. So, just going to go ahead and throw out the top three that are out there that most people have that I have done with the research that I was looking is loud chewing,
mm-hmm.
spitting,
mm-hmm.
and pen clicking.
Okay.
Pen clicking.
Loud chewing is one of my pet peeves.
Is it one of yours?
Well, it's not loud chewing.
Is it obnoxious chewing?
No, it's chewing with your mouth open.
It's sound effects in the background.
Right. It's chewing with your mouth open.
So you don't want to see food.
It's not seeing the food, it's hearing it.
Oh, hearing it's that noise.
It's hearing it.
It like drives you insane.
Yeah, I cannot do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. It is like
I like having someone watch cuz it's funny.
No, you're going to come next Monday? So, I can't the hearing the chew.
Yeah.
My mom taught me. My mom and dad.
Let me have a cracker right now. Let me eat something.
I swear to God, dog.
Right now.
I will chuck my phone at you. Are you trying to make me gag? Stop. Stop. It's so gross. Yes. I can't. My mom and my dad taught me at a very young age. Nobody wants to see what you're chewing. They know what you're eating. They don't want to see it being chewed.
No.
They don't want to hear it.
I get that.
Yeah. So loud chewing is definitely one of mine. I can't say pen clicking because I will literally sit here and just
I'm click. The one doing it.
Yeah, like, I'm clicking a pen away.
Click, click, click.
So if you don't like it.
I guess it's because I'm ADHD and it's something that calms my mind. I fidget.
Yeah, I constantly have to have something in my hands.
You fidget.
That's why I do so well with hair because I'm constantly moving my fingers.
Right.
So like if... As you can tell, like, in the video, I'm constantly, like, moving my hand, doing something.
Me, I can't sit still. It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, it does not. So. What's one of your pet peeves?
There's a few.
All right, let's hear it.
Gotta let myself out there.
It's about freaking time.
Calm down. This show is mostly about you.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. I guess when I'm a really bad. I hate people that drive slow.
Yeah.
I hate being behind someone that drives slow.
Yeah.
I guess it's because my fiance drives so fast and I'm used to just he's behind everything, he's gone, he's out the way. But mm-hmm. when it's someone is in front of me or in him driving, mm-hmm. I feel like we're going like a mile a minute and it's like, what the heck? Come on, get out of my way, especially when you're blocked in.
Yeah.
And then you can't get over. And you can't get around them because there's two cars and they're matching each other's speed and I'm stuck. Mm. That drives me insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's a lot. It's literally road rage. Like, I think I just have really bad road rage.
I have road rage.
Which a lot of my pet peeves are like people that are like on their phone right away. Like, when you're talking on the phone, you don't need to hold it here. Most cars nowadays come with a Bluetooth.
Oh, are you talking about when you're driving and you're holding it? Oh, yeah, no, I have that
both drives in my car. Me insane. Like, you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
You are more focused on that phone call because you're holding it.
Yeah.
Instead of talking and driving because you're focusing on holding that phone because you don't want to drop it.
Okay.
That one drives me insane because I see it all the time.
When I'm talking on the phone, I stick it right underneath my leg.
Uh-huh.
Right underneath my thigh. Mine sits
in the mount now and I just don't even touch it.
I took my mount off. Oh, that's no, the mount I have is broken.
Oh. Nolly break it or you broke it?
I broke it.
Boy.
Yeah.
That's really the only ones is really behind the wheel. My phobia is really, my pet peeves come out of behind driving. The wheel.
Yeah.
That nagging. I don't like people nagging.
That's my biggest fear. Yeah, that's my biggest fear is nagging somebody. Like if I ask a question, I'm not gonna ask it again. I won't nag because I got what does that look for?
I love the look.
Like I used to when I was a kid, I used to nag my dad. He used to call it hounding.
Oh, yes, that's another word for it.
I'm so terrified of hounding someone and driving them insane that they're like, forget this. I'm not doing this.
Right.
I'm not. She's hounding me. I'm not doing it. So that's my biggest fear is like hounding somebody. If I ask more than three times, I feel like I'm hounding.
Okay.
So I don't hound. Once I ask it, I hope you remember because I'm probably not going to ask it again. Forget about it. I'm not going to ask.
Unless you're me, because I will hound you.
Yeah, you do hound me.
But that's also because I have to.
Yeah, but you'll hound me, and because you hound me, I can hound you. I feel comfortable.
Yeah, we throw it back at each other very often, but that's why we work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, pet peeves.
Oh, I got one right now, and I'm about to call you out on it. Answering the phone and calling someone back. I can call you. I will stop calling you because you don't answer after the second time.
Yeah.
But you don't call back. You forget.
Oh, I do forget.
You click it and it's gone and it's out of your mind. And you don't think to call somebody back.
Well, yeah.
I've learned I have to text like three or four times to get a phone call back. So yeah. It's fine, but
yeah.
That drives me insane.
Let me just put it this way. If I'm answering the phone call or I'm answering the FaceTime, be lucky because I don't do it. I was telling my friend that we were FaceTiming, and they were like, are you serious? You never answer FaceTime. Like, you hate FaceTiming. I said, well, I wanted to FaceTime, so if I answer a FaceTime, be lucky, because I cannot stand it. It is one of those things where...
I feel honored.
Huh?
I feel honored.
Yeah, I told Dalton, I was like, yeah, I answered his FaceTime, and he was like, are you serious? You never FaceTime. I was like, well, I'm FaceTiming now, I guess. Like, if I FaceTime my dad, I gotta go. I love you. See you later, bud.
Click.
Gotta end. Or Magnolia, go talk to Poppy. I can't do it.
Yeah, no, I don't use the video chat as much as I used to with my iPhone.
Yeah.
So.
But if I'm in the car, if I'm driving to work, I immediately want to talk on the phone. I will talk all the way there.
You have travel
talking. Yes.
So you want to travel and talk at the same time because it just makes it go faster.
Yeah, I will go down the list of people who will answer my phone call.
Me.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning, I will.
Yeah, it's you and Maggie. I will call them while I'm...
Maggie's always available.
Yeah, for the most part. But we'll talk for forever. And like same with you. We'll talk forever.
That's why we started the podcast is because we can literally sit on the phone for 3 hours and not even think we're on the phone for 3 hours.
Yeah, so I'll go through the list of people of who I'm going to call in the morning. And if I get all the way to my location or if I get home and none of y'all answered and you call me back, I'm not answering it because I'm no longer in the car.
Yeah, no. But sometimes I call you in the morning and you're on the phone with Maggie.
Oh, yeah. I'm always on the phone. 8:30. That's when I'm on the phone with Maggie. Between 8 and 8:30, I'm on the phone with her until I'm at work. Which ranges from between 9 and 10. If I get to work, I'm not... If I'm at work, I will hang up the phone so I can go sit in silence. Unless
you,
I'm... Unless
you have it, travel talking. You want to travel and talk.
Well, not only that, I want to decompress before work. I feel like I can't decompress if I'm on the phone. Because whatever the subject is, it's going to amp me up.
Amp it up.
But I don't want to be amped up before my client. I want to be calm and collected.
Yeah.
Before my client walks through the door. Well, not only that, so I can focus, because I'm looking at
makes the wrong ingredients.
I'm looking at the schedule and who I have that day.
Yeah.
And I'm memorizing what I'm doing with their hair. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about their hair as I'm walking into work. As soon as I hang up that phone call, I'm looking at my schedule and I'm like, okay, so and so is at work. Okay, I need to do this, 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 and this for their hair.
Right.
Their hair needs this, this, and this.
Right.
It's like a list that I do throughout my job, so I know that I'm set, ready to go for them. Mm-hmm. I'm not on the fly, I'll figure it out type of person. I have to have a plan for your hair. Mm-hmm. I'm perfectly fine with clients saying, hey, I actually don't want to do this, what I scheduled for. I want to do this. That I can think on the fly with.
Right.
Because I know your hair. Your hair's in front of me. I can think right then
and
there.
You can touch it. You can feel it. You can see what you got to do.
Right. But if it's like anything else, if it's before and then like before you come in, you're like, oh, I need to do this. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I could still work on the fly. But most of the time, I'm already have a plan for your hair. Mm-hmm. Because I want the best outcome for your hair.
Right.
But yeah. So, yeah, I'll go through that list. And if you ain't answered by the time I get to that destination, I'm watching it decline, 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 right. decline. I'm not doing it. I guess I don't really have a pet peeve. I don't know if I have any. I mean, I know I have pet peeves, but I can't, like, think of them.
Hmm. We'll have to come back to that subject in another episode.
No, give me a second. I'm going to think about this because I know I've got pet peeves. Well, I know chewing. I got them. The chewing.
I mean, you could only have one pet peeve. I mean, that's a thing. I mean, I just have a few because they're all driven by road rage. I have road rage.
Yeah.
And people on the road just drive me insane.
I guess a pet peeve would be like if I'm giving you 100, you give me 100.
Right. You want the same thing back that's given.
Yeah. Like, if I'm cooking dinner, I hope you're going to help me clean because I don't want to clean after I'm done cooking dinner.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's got to be more than that. Because I know I've said, oh, that's a pet peeve of mine. But I don't know.
Go like this. What are your red flags?
My red flags? Oh, see, now he's inching closer. He's like, I got to know what this is.
What are your red flags?
My red flags? Not taking life serious.
Okay.
Not having any ambitions in life. Mm-hmm. If you're a parent, not caring for your kid.
Right.
If you have a kid, that's your sole responsibility. Mm. I don't want to see on Snapchat that you're out drinking.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? What are you doing, bud?
You have a kid at home.
You have a kid. You're how old and you're out partying?
Right.
Like, for me, if your kid's at home, taken care of, fine. Like, what? Like, it's all good, right?
Yeah.
But if your kid's at home by himself and you haven't seen your kid in forever, what are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing with your life? Mm-hmm. Another pet peeve would be, or another red flag would, not having a stable job.
Gotcha.
Because I have a stable job. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be the breadwinner. I refuse to be the breadwinner.
It's a partnership.
Yes.
In the long run, it's a partnership.
It's, yeah, it's,
both do it.
It's a partnership. It's not one way or the other way. We're in this together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like right down the middle. We're in this together. We're a team.
Right.
It's not going to be, I'm team captain and you're just there to like boost me go.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing this. Another red flag would be not taking care of your kid. Mm-hmm. Like, you brought that kid in the world. It takes two to tango. You think it's going to all fall on the mom? Or you think it's all going to fall on the dad? Huh?
That's why I have a fur baby.
Yeah.
That's very easier.
Yeah. Another red flag would be saying that your ex is crazy.
Okay.
Everyone has a little bit of crazy. Everyone has crazy. Everyone has crazy. Mm-hmm. It's all about how you put that into perspective, or not perspective, but into words, because everyone's crazy.
Right.
Everyone is. I'm crazy.
Oh, I'm.
We all know I'm crazy. But it's all about, like,
I think how... if you don't have a little bit of crazy, you're boring.
Yes, yes. It's all about how you explain how that person became that way.
Right.
Like, if you're sitting here saying, oh, she's crazy because she wanted to know every move that I was making.
Right.
Or she wanted to know who I was hanging out with at all times. Or she, what's another crazy? The location thing, I don't think that's crazy. Okay. I think that's out of respect. Like, I want to know, like, where you're at. Like, I don't really care where you're going, but I want to know that you arrive safe.
Right.
So I don't find that crazy, but yeah, it's a peace of mind. Exactly. Right. And then with the friends aspect, I don't really care who you're hanging out with. Like, I expect you to respect me enough to not cross that line of being dishonest or being disloyal or disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to go out with your friends, fine, have a blast.
Right.
Girl, I'll be here. I'll be here on watching TikToks, watching my show. Peace and quiet. I don't care. Do you. It does not bother me. But I expect you to be respectful and loyal when you're out.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that too many times where the guy goes out, hangs out with his friends, and he's out there disrespecting her.
Right.
You know? Or mad, like, talking trash about her.
Yep.
Another one would be, the guy is so narcissistic that he can't see fault within himself.
Gotcha.
If you can't own up to your mistakes and say, yeah, I messed up.
I did that. Yeah.
I did that. I should not have done that. You know, like, I own the mistakes that I have. It humbled me. It made me grow as a person. If you can't say that, kick rocks.
Right.
Kick rocks. Like, we ain't doing this.
Deuces.
Yeah, we ain't doing this. Like, you've got to be able to be man enough to own your mistakes. And if you can't be man enough and own your mistakes, then what are you doing?
Right.
You're a boy trying to play in the man's world. It's not going to work out. It's not going to last very long for you.
Right.
I just saw an incident of that just a couple months ago where the guy was attacking this girl, just verbally attacking her and just making her feel like shit. And every single time she would call him out, he'd be like, you're fucking crazy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Gotcha.
I don't, like, you're making this up. I never said that. What do you mean you never said that? Because I got it in text right here.
Right.
I got it in text. I got it in writing.
And proof.
Yeah. Are you going to say that you're writing? Someone took your phone and wrote it for you?
Right.
Because you're on something if you think that.
Right.
But, I mean, those are my red flags. And
in the mix of that, you do have slight pet peeves that you are a part of that. Like, when you were going through your red flags, it's just another word of saying pet peeves.
Oh, yeah. I guess you could. Yeah, that's a good point.
Red flags are pet peeves.
Yeah.
You're just listed out all of them just because I changed the wording for it.
Yeah.
It is mainstream to call a pet peeve your red flags.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Well, my green flags.
Oh, boy. We'll get on another episode for those. I do think we're going to wrap this up on this episode.
Yeah, because we went on a little banter there.
Yeah.
It's kind of normal, though.
Everyone knows we went off the rails like we always do.
Yeah, every time.
But
okay, yeah, we're gonna wrap it up.
This has been another episode of 2BFFs and a Mic.
I just want to remind everyone that we do post a new episode every Monday, and we also do have a website that will be
linked down in the footer on the
videos. Yeah. So, and within that, we want you guys to, like, leave us reviews, send us questions, anything you guys want us to talk about on the next episode, and you can also message us on Instagram. I run the Instagram, and
I have access, so I can still see everything.
Yeah, we tag team all the social media, so one of us is going to end up seeing what you guys want us to talk about. I do know that one of our listeners, Maggie, my sister, she really wants to do True Crime Tuesday.
Everybody does True Crime.
I know, everybody does. She just wants to be part of it. She wants to figure out a crime.
Maybe we do a True Crimes monthly episode.
There is one that we do need to jump on quickly because it is becoming popular, and I'm not going to talk about it yet, but it is becoming popular. I just saw it on TikTok last night.
Maybe we'll look into it. Maybe not this next episode, but maybe the episode after that. Yeah. We'll do bring her on. We'll do that episode with it.
Yeah. I do know that we have a couple listeners that want to do Am I the Asshole?
I've looked at Reddit. A few of them.
I'm also terrified of, like, rereading one that people have already read.
That is the hard thing about doing it. Everybody has done them.
Yeah.
But I do think another gimmick for doing it is if we're going to do an Am I the Asshole, one of us has to try to be the asshole. You are to read it and you have to live by that story no matter what. The other person is to give the judgment, are you the asshole? But you are to try to justify that person. It's like a, almost like a debate. Back and forth. But like it just changes it. It's not. It's different. You don't see that.
It's going to be hard because I'm going to read something and be like, no, bud, you in the wrong.
But you...
You're going to have to be the asshole. I'm going to have to be the one.
Switch it back and forth and that'll be the funny part. Okay. Even if it makes no sense, you have to try to justify that story.
All right, let us know I think that'll be hilarious. All right, let us know if y'all want that.
I think it'll be funny.
Yeah.
Comedy gold.
Yep.
All right, well, gold. Until next time, this has been Two BFFs and a Mic. My name's Dalton.
And I'm Ruby Jane, and thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next Monday.
All right, next Monday, guys. Bye.
Hello, everyone. I just want to take a moment to express our heartfelt thanks to each and every one of you who listen to our podcast. Your support means the world to us. We truly appreciate the time you take out of your day to listen to what we have to say. Whether you've been with us from the very beginning or just discovering our podcast now, we're so grateful for your presence. We love hearing from you, so please don't hesitate to reach out with your feedback, suggestions, or just saying hello. Your engagement keeps us going and helps us improve each episode. So thank you for being part of the podcast community. We couldn't do this without you, and we're looking forward to sharing more episodes with you in the future. So stay tuned until the next episode, and thank you for listening to the podcast.